Appreciate the prayer that's been offered and ask a continued interest in your prayers. Probably no surprise to anyone that we have Thanksgiving on our mind, our heart tonight. It's just one of those seasons of the year where it's just very easy to talk about this particular time of year. We don't need a holiday to be thankful. But I like this holiday. I guess it's, if I've got a favorite holiday, I guess this is it. Not just for the turkey, that's nice too. But it's for, it's right. It's just right for us to be thankful and to say it. That we're thankful for the blessings that God has given us. He blesses us every day, so every day we ought to be thankful. And that's the approach I want to take to our subject tonight, is daily thanksgiving. And we have wonderful scriptures. I'm going to just kind of try to limit it to about three different passages. There may be a couple of other verses I'll mention in passing, but three passages primarily where the subject of thanksgiving is taught in the way of us being thankful on a regular basis. Scripture doesn't have anything about a holiday for Thanksgiving. It's something we ought to do every day. Every day we should be thankful, and I know you are, but it's good to talk about it. All right, so I want to begin in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, this chapter begins by Paul being inspired to say, "Be ye therefore followers of Christ as dear children." Well, I would think that if we're going to be a follower of the Lord as a dear child, then being thankful is part of it. Don't you appreciate when your children show their appreciation for something? It's something we ought to try to instill in them, but it's just so nice when they show that there's a thankfulness, a gratitude about them. Well, as a dear child, and there's a lot of teaching in between that first verse and where we're going with this, but there's so much in this chapter where he speaks about we were sometime darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I would expect a child of light to be thankful. Okay? Bearing the fruit of the Spirit, proving what's acceptable, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproving them. He comes down to verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest." He's talking spiritually, isn't he? "Awake thou that sleepest." Do we ever get sleepy spiritually? Certainly we do. "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now there's times where we're more fervent than others, and I hope that we're not completely asleep in our discipleship to the Lord and in our fellowship and in our dealings with one another. But there's that admonition to continue to remember to arise, okay, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Okay. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And that's our goal, isn't it? To try to understand God's will. Now, this is the revealed will of God. From cover to cover, this Bible is the revealed will of God. All right? So there's a lot of things that we don't have to wonder about how God feels about it. If we would just read the book that he's given us, we would know. And that's what Bible, regular Bible reading and listening to preaching and studying the Word of God, that's what it's all about, so that we can know the will of God. So he says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I understand that to mean being under the influence of the Spirit. Okay? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here we go. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm satisfied. There's things that happened in my life I've not given thanks for, good and bad. But we're admonished here to have that thankful heart at all times. Now, there's some all things in Scripture that, like in Romans chapter 8, those all things are the things that God has purposed from the foundation of the world that God's going to take care of, and we need to be thankful for those things. And I would say, even with regard to this verse, that as a child of God, especially as a dear child, that we should always remember that we always can be thankful to God. It is not dependent upon our circumstances. What God has done supersedes any circumstance of life. It's not going to change anything that God's done for us. When he sent his son to this world to redeem his people from their sins, when Jesus said it's finished, and when the work of redemption was accomplished, when he shed his precious blood upon the cross, bless your hearts, nothing will ever undo that. And that's something that we'll be praising him in all eternity for, the gift of his son. He'll stand as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We'll be giving him praise and honor and glory to his matchless name, world without end. That's something that we can always, no matter what our circumstances in life, and some people's circumstances are mighty bad in terms of what they have to endure each day. But bless your hearts, there is always something to be thankful for. Think about Job. Think about the circumstances that Job was in. How, you know, have you ever tried to put yourself in Job's place? In Job's case? Elder John Henry Thrower had that message called Job's Case. Have you ever tried to put yourself in his place? Imagine, you know, I know that we can't say what we would do if we were in those circumstances, but have you ever tried to imagine what you might have felt? What you might have, how you would have responded to such trials as Job endured? Scripture says that in all this he sinned not, neither charged God foolishly. There's nothing you can charge God with. Okay? The devil brought that upon him. All right. But there came a point where his wife, can you see the depth of this trial? It wasn't somebody that just a passerby. It wasn't one of his miserable comforters. It was his wife. Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. In all that he was already dealing with. Do you remember what Job said? Would you have said that? Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? And in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Not only do we have a powerful example of faithfulness here in affliction, but it also points out to us how easy it is for someone to sin with their lips. You know, James has a whole lot to say about the tongue. He may not have a whole lot to say about the lips, but he sure has a lot to say about the tongue. And we're talking about the same thing, aren't we? Job did not sin with his lips. You know, if you're not in a thankful heart, then you're likely to be thinking about yourself. And when things are not going well, it's so easy to complain. It's so easy to say, to talk about things that are not right. And you see, when you start that, it's like an avalanche, isn't it? If you don't check yourself, it just gets worse and worse. And you feel worse and worse. In all this, Job sinned not, neither charged God foolishly. And he didn't sin with his lips. Wow. Isn't that a great example for us to remember? You know, God's been so good to us. We've got so many blessings. We could be on the mountaintop if we would spend more time thinking about how blessed we are. I realize we all have tribulations. Jesus said that. You know, there's no surprise about tribulation that comes in this world. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. That's not a once, now, and again thing. That's just something that keeps coming. Tribulation is like the waves of the sea that just keep coming, one after the other, after the other. Isn't that the way life is? That you just never know. You know, it's just a little, sometimes it's a little thing, sometimes it's a big bump. But nevertheless, things are not always good. Thank the Lord for those seasons when things are going well. But there's no surprise about that. But that doesn't change anything God's done for us. God is still on his throne. He's still just as good and godly and holy and righteous as he ever has been, always will be. Nothing has changed about that. And so there's nothing that has changed about our reasons to be thankful. So where's our focus? If it's on the things of this world, then we're going to be tempted to complain. But if we set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth, then we're in a whole lot better frame of mind to handle the tribulations that come against us from time to time. And so Paul said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever visited someone in the hospital or nursing home thinking that maybe you might have a word or something that you could say to kind of help their day? And as it turns out, the rule I have found is that they can cheer you up a whole lot quicker than you cheer them up. To hear them talk about being thankful. To hear them talk about being just so thankful for what God has blessed them with. I can remember those like Sister Doris, and Aunt Doris, Aunt Cumai, Sister Jane. We still got some folks like that around, but isn't it good to think back over those giants of the faith, those heroes that have passed the scene of this life, and sometimes I just sit and remember what a blessed heritage we have in those that have been good and faithful servants to the Lord, those who were faithful, those who were thankful. That's what the scriptures encourage us to be like. I want to be like that, don't you? I got a long way to go, but I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Because that is the will of God. That is how he would have, that's what pleases him. That's what makes us dear children. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want to begin reading in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Isn't that a wonderful principle to remember? If we've been offended, how much has we offended God? How much have we offended our Lord? And yet God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, even as God hath forgiven us. Wow, that's our great why, isn't it? And above all these things, put on charity. So we've gone from bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, working our way down to charity. Love in action, okay? Above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's what we're striving for. That level of maturity, okay? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Wow. I tell you, if we're endeavoring to do these things, it's a whole lot easier to have that mindset of being thankful. Okay? All right, so we need to be attentive to these things. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All right, and here's our verse. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed. Now, to some extent, the passage we were talking about from Ephesians could be how we feel and how we respond to circumstances. And it could be, you know, thought of as kind of our private response, our private growth. I know it's not limited to that, but think about it in those terms. But here he's talking about whatsoever you do in word or deed. And that's what we want as far as spiritual fruit. We want that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We want that fruit to come forth. We want that understanding to shine forth. We want to be doing, not just in word, but also in deed, following our Lord and manifesting those graces that we need to show to others so that others can see Christ. That's the goal, isn't it? So whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, one thing that we find in Scripture is when the Lord appeared to Abram back in Genesis 17. One of the things the Lord told him was, walk before me. He said, I'm the Lord Almighty, or I'm the Almighty God. I think it's what he says. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything you can do that's not before him? I mean, there's nothing hidden from him. He sees all. The darkness is the same as the light to him. There's not a word in our tongue, but lo, he knoweth it all together. He looks on the heart. He can discern the very thoughts and intents of the heart. So there's nothing you can do, think, feel, that's not before him. But he tells Abram, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Sounds like to me, he's telling Abram, be mindful. Be mindful. You're walking before me. There's a way that God wills for us to walk. There's a way that he desires for us to talk and for the things that we do to be done in a Christian way. To be good witnesses. To let others see the goodness of God coming from us. We know there's nothing, you know, in ourselves, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. If there's anything good in us, God put it there. If we've been able to grow in our understanding of his word, and we're able to walk in a way that's pleasing in his sight, we give God all the praise for that. It's not of us. But we need to be mindful that we're walking before the Lord. I know this is fundamental. We do this all the time. But sometimes we get caught up in the things of this world. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we get so focused on something that we're doing here, we don't pause to think about the Lord very much. It can happen, can it? So the scriptures admonish us to be mindful that we're walking. Everything we say and do is before the Lord. So he tells Abraham, walk thou before me, be thou perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Okay? David said in Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I've set the Lord. Notice what he said there. Now the Lord's there. I mean, like we've already said and spent enough time on, nothing is hidden from the Lord. But this is a presence of mind. This is a purpose of heart. This is like Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. All right? This is that intentional walk as we go through each day. So our text back in Colossians 3, verse 17 said, of whatsoever ye do in word or deed, mindful of the Lord, mindful that we're walking before the Lord, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, let it reflect the Lord's teaching. Whatever we do, let it be according to godliness. Let it be according to righteousness. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. There's a way to do it. And it's according to God's way. Okay? So whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're doing something and it's not according to righteousness, then we're not doing it in the name of the Lord. So there's a way to do it. We need to be mindful. We're walking before the Lord. All right. All in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Giving thanks to God. You know, I've just grabbed a few passages tonight on this subject of thankfulness. But it's a big subject, isn't it? And it's one we should never forget. It should just be the way we live, being thankful. And I know you do. But since the scriptures admonish us and remind us so many times to be thankful, I think it's good from time to time for us to be reminded. I'm satisfied there's some room for improvement. It is for me. And maybe you're doing a better job of it than I am, but there's room in my life for more thankfulness. And since the scriptures, I know the scripture doesn't say it's in vain, so the scriptures admonish us to be thankful, so it's good for us to be reminded. Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 15, Paul says, "See that none render evil for evil." Boy, this old flesh wants to do that, doesn't it? This old flesh wants to get back when somebody's done something to us. And this old flesh can rear its ugly head so quickly if we're not careful. See that none render evil for evil. God's got a better way. God's way is always better. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Whoa, wait a minute. Shouldn't that just be to the household of faith? No, to any man. To any man. That's how we're to live. The way the Lord teaches us. Be mindful of his teaching at all times to all people. Okay? See that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good. Ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, there's the household of faith, among yourselves, and to all men. You know, there are some people that seems like they're just waiting for an opportunity to criticize God's people. They're just waiting for an opportunity to blaspheme. They're waiting for an opportunity to remind folks, yeah, that happened a long time ago, and there it is again. If we remember these principles, being thankful, walking as dear children, seeking the righteousness of God, living the righteousness of God, applying these principles, not only before the household of faith, but before all men, other men, those that are without. The scriptures speak of them in various ways. Those that are not the household of faith, they need to see this. They need to see that it's real. They need to see that we practice it. They need to see it's not something that happens on Sunday morning, but not during the week. You know, some of you may have encountered Adrian Rogers on the radio. Lots of good practical teaching. And one time he made mention of the fact that, you know, he said, he was talking to his congregation. He said, you know, some of you are sowing your wild oats during the week and come to church on Sunday praying for a crop failure. Don't you see that? We could go into a lot of things, but I don't think that's very profitable. But let it not be named among us. Let's follow after righteousness. Let's choose the high road, as it's sometimes described, God's way over the things of this world. Let's do that. So, all right, so he says a lot of exhortations here, but we come down to verse 18. It says, in everything, in everything, give thanks. Now again, My understanding of that is maintain a thankful heart. Sometimes life is great. Sometimes it's not. But again, like we started out, God doesn't change. And what he's done is done forever. Nothing can nothing can separate us from his love, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can undo what God has done for us. You know, when we think of the household, when we think of God's people, the elect family of God, the fact that you cannot add. You know, I appreciated, I heard Elder Tim McCool make this point. You know, being a lawyer, you can kind of feel like he knows what he's talking about. And he made this legal point one time about how that, you know, there's not a state in the United States that will allow you to add somebody to the will after the testator, the person that made this last will and testament, after they've made their will and after they've died, there's not a state in the United States that will allow you to add an heir to that will. And same's true with God's will. With his last will and testament, all the heirs are already in it. You can't add a one. And thanks be to God, you can't take any out. There's hope for me. So when we think about God's will, we think about in everything, we can still thank God. Because if life's not good, if in the sense of circumstances, and if we are struggling, we can call upon him. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We've got help in everything that we face. So in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Christ, we have complete forgiveness of sins. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That God, knowing what we would do, knowing what we're like, and yet he loved us enough to send his son to save us from our sins. Completely. Forever. Wow. If nothing else, we can thank the Lord for his salvation every day. No matter what. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that principle is buried here, or not buried, but it's listed here with a lot of other exhortations to godliness. But I'm focusing tonight on Thanksgiving. And so he says, again, in everything give thanks. Well, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, as we pointed out when we began reading back in verse 15, he says, ever follow that which is good. Is it a good thing to give thanks? Yes. Absolutely. So when we're giving thanks to God, no matter what our circumstances, even in that, we're following that which is good. You know, in everything give thanks, he says. There's been a lot of distractions in the last few years. And it's not over. There'll be more. It keeps changing. I've grown to have a much deeper appreciation for the truth that God doesn't change. There's no need for him to change. God is perfect. And if he should change, it'd have to be something less than perfect. But he cannot change. Hallelujah. That's one of the things God cannot do. Just like he cannot lie. He couldn't swear by any greater, so he'd swear by himself. There's five or six things that he cannot do. He cannot die. He cannot lie. And so those are not weaknesses. As a matter of fact, he's glorified in the fact that he can't do those things. So in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We've got so much to be thankful for. You know, I brought in the fact that there's things that we wish were different. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here's some more exhortations. And it ties in real well with something we can be thankful for. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says to Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made. But he didn't stop there. We know we're supposed to give thanks. But he says to be made for all men. Quite often when we see that all men, it's all manner of men. Okay? But listen, if the Lord says to pray for your enemies, that takes in a whole lot of folks. All right? For kings, for all that are in authority, that's tough, isn't it? When we see some of the things going on in the world today, it's tough to do that. But it gets better when we remember God's in control. They're not too hard for him to handle. They're not going to do anything that he doesn't allow. There are many cases, you read your Old Testament and be comforted in the fact that there's times God in his perfect will has raised up men to sit on his throne. They were the very basest of men. Daniel told us that. Thankfully, we've had some good rulers. But we've had a lot of those others. But God's still on his throne. He's still able to supply our every need. And here's what we're getting to. For kings and for all that are in authority, why? That we. We're not talking about something that's going to be such a blessing to them. It's going to be a blessing to us that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You see that? All that we've been saying tonight, if we endeavor to follow the principles of righteousness, if we desire to honor the Lord and for all of our actions to be according to godliness and to let others see Christ in us and whatever we're facing when we do it in a godly way, and we're living before God and we're having to deal with those that are in authority of many of the kind that we have in our day, he tells us, pray for them. And I mean pray for them. Don't just give it lip service. Pray for them. Ask the Lord for his will to be done. For them, among them, in them, through them. His will. No matter what they are. You know, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life among them. Here's our demeanor, in all godliness and honesty. If we, what did Peter say? Who is he that will harm you if you be partakers of that or followers of that which is good? Okay. If we're trying to do what's right and we're endeavoring to please God and not men, then we've got scripture that says we do these things, pray for them, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life among them. So many times I think about Jeremiah's letter to Israel that was carried away into captivity. God told him, you tell them, go ahead and build houses. Marry, let your sons marry daughters and your daughters marry sons and be increased, not diminished. As God's people, there's no reason for us to stop. We're to be faithful to him and keep serving him and doing the things that would be pleasing unto him. Because he told them, pray for the peace of the city. For in their peace, ye shall have peace. I believe that principle is still alive and well. And we're faithful to God. You know he's going to be faithful to us. Be thankful that we have such truths that we can hold on to. That God is so faithful to us. He's so much more faithful to us than we'll ever be to him. Be thankful for that. In everything, give thanks. There's a lot of things I wish was different, but I can't change it. So I can just keep serving the Lord. I can keep praising the Lord. I can keep thanking him for all the good things that he is doing. And let him take care of those things. I can't, but he can. And he will in his own time. So in everything, give thanks. So there's so many things that we could talk about in the way of thankfulness. But being thankful, being mindful, we're walking before God. Walking in paths of righteousness. Keeping our heart exercised in the things of God. That's what we need. That's what we need. In everything, give thanks. Now, as I said a moment ago, or before we started tonight, I want to take some time here, a few minutes, and let's have a little round table discussion about some of the things that we're thankful for. I hope you'll think about that and make some mention of it. I don't know that we could, as far as the recording is concerned, I don't know if we could hear much of that, so I'm going to stop the recording before we get started with that. But there's plenty for us to be thankful for. And it's good for us to speak often of these things one to another. It's good for us to be, you know, maybe you might mention something to somebody else that hadn't been thinking about. There's plenty that we could talk about. So let's take a minute and share some of those things that we are thankful for tonight. May God bless you as far as this message is concerned.